Hey, everybody. We wanted to share that this week's episode is the last planned recording for Dear Jessamine. We're leaving the doors open for us to come back to the mic, but wanted to let you know, our dearies, before a possibly long hiatus. Thank you all so much for your support. We'll be around the usual places, just not here for now. We love you. Bye.
This episode of Dear Jessamine has profanity, sex talk, weed smoking, and a bunch of other shit that's just not for everybody. You also may not agree with the stuff we say or how we say it.
And we think that's great. We're recording today from stolen Ohlone land.
We promote cannabis medicine to people over 21. If you're not 21, come back when you are.
What I want to do to myself.
Get the fight at some point.
Okay.
They did get this one back.
They did.
Hey, Jessamine.
Hey, Ash.
You know, You like, remember our intro?
No, I do remember the intro. I think you're being cute. You just like went from...
Look, it's my second day of my period. I don't really even know what to say to anybody but that.
I feel you.
Like, and some people don't resonate with that. Like when they're bleeding, they're like, don't tell me I behave different. I behave differently.
You're from Kentucky. That's what you are.
Yes I am.
How are you doing this week?
Oh boy.
You're on your period.
What a roller coaster.
Oh my goodness.
How are you doing?
I'm riding the waves. I'm hang 10, surf's up.
You got it, dude. Cowabunga.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's pretty much that. I am excited that today is a Dear Query episode. Woo-hoo! And we can remind everybody now that we take Dear Queries on our website.
Year round,
all the time at dearjessamine.com/query. And that's Q-U-E-E-R-Y. Is that right?
Like gay.
Yeah. Like, yeah, it's like a gay question.
It is. Okay.
Yeah. What are you inviting in this week?
Thank you for facilitating. I didn't sleep last night and I wouldn't be able to do what you're doing. Let me admit that to everybody
no,
right
but
now.
That is the thing about us is that we roll in tandem. So every time that I'm down, you got me, you're up. And then when I'm down, no, wait, what is it? Then when you're down,
the other one.
I got you.
I appreciate that. Thanks for having my back. I'm inviting in Surrender.
I know that's right. God damn.
Exclusively. 100%. I don't have any room. No more ports for anything else. But Surrender in the form of sleep, in the form of collaboration, in the form of just general goodwill. I would like to surrender to the fact that who I am, how I am is very loving and gentle. Mm-hmm. I think that I feel like I need to fight a lot for a lot of reasons. Different reasons on different days with different people or things or inanimate object, you name it. But surrender is like both the, like feels like the opposite and the antidote to all that, you know? I feel way more powerful in a posture of surrender. So that is what I'm inviting in. How about you, my love?
Fuck yeah. I'm inviting in routine. Routines are kind of hard for me because I like to go rogue and be random. But
is it random or is it like freedom?
It's also like trying something new. Sure. So it reads as random. It's like jazz. I like to live my life like jazz.
Thank you. Go ahead.
But even in jazz, there are patterns and rhythms and like you find the different
and
things.
Collaboration.
Deep collaboration. But it's also spontaneous collaboration.
And intuitive.
Intuitive collaboration. But I'm inviting in the routines because I find that they help me be more free. Like I can do more shit. Like having my schedule set and I just follow the schedule. Just do what's on the schedule. And we have set this new rhythm where we're doing these like morning and evening check-ins with our schedules.
Sorry, I was such a bitch this morning.
Baby, to be a bitch is a part of this experience. I'm just saying, like, sometimes you got to be a bitch. And, like, my thing is, can we persevere through that? Like,
we do.
We were learning. But, yeah, so inviting in the routines.
Routines.
Yeah. There's a part of me that wants to, like, throw in a little what's new in paradise just to, like, see how you're doing. But then at the same time, like, we have, again, on the routines, we have such an incredible routine right here. Maybe someday soon we will do a what's new in paradise. But Right now we have the answer to last week's
always
trivia
question. Like, braided in to what we're talking about, you know?
Oh yeah, that's real.
That's what
I mean, this is the thing about us now, is that we're like in full dating mode, both of us.
Interesting.
Like, and I just wanted to see, like, because it changes.
You don't want to be alone in your hoe phase, is that why you're
bringing? I don't even really want to talk about my hoe phase. I think I was asking you because you're talking about not getting my sleep.
I was in my bed in my home all by myself.
No, but I'm like not getting sleep.
If you riddled with anxiety, okay, I was not fucking nobody. I wasn't texting with nobody.
I was just saying, if you've been awake in the evenings knocking boots recently, then whenever you are not doing that, maybe it's hard to find sleep. That's all I was saying.
Everybody that I'm interested in is 40 adjacent, and so what I love about that, especially, well, what I love about that is we go to bed at like 9 or 10 p.m.
Yeah. You actually go to bed.
To sleep. We go to sleeping. So, and I like
to. Do you think that was.
Go ahead.
Do you think that's part of what got you last night? Was not going to bed at the time that you've been going to bed?
No, I hate admitting this. I don't drink coffee after noon anymore. Yeah. And I drank coffee yesterday evening because I wanted to edit. And then it just never ended, the awakeness. So I wasn't going to say that, but I'm not trying to lie to nobody. But it's not a practice I'm trying to keep in the routine. I want to surrender to the fact that if I didn't get it done, I didn't get it done yet, and I can do it tomorrow.
That's it.
And I think there is, it's interesting to say that that way, because I think there is like a scarcity or something feeling about time.
Totally. Absolutely.
So just saying like, dude, there's always enough. There's going to be enough. Whatever it is, there's just going to be enough. Because when I say that, there is. And when I don't say that, I feel like there isn't, even though there always is.
There always is. Yeah. The sleep thing, though, I feel you about, like, the scarcity of time.
Yeah.
And feeling like, because it'll be like, no, I just want to work through the night. I feel like I had years and years and years.
Oh, yeah. Because you work through the night. Nobody's asking after you. Literally. There's no distractions, whatever. I just can't
sometimes
do it anymore.
Sometimes it is better to do things at night, though. Like, there are some projects that are better.
I can make night, though. I can, like, you know, make myself
I feel like
unavailable.
Night is a good time for creative work. Like, to just be like, vibing in something.
I like to go to sleep at 9 p.m. And if I wake up at 5, mm-hmm. I'm ready. If I wake up at 4 and I can't get back to sleep, I'm ready. And if I wake up at 3 and I'm unusually up and at 'em, those are my best creative times.
Yeah.
I learned that from an ex-lover who worked like 80 hours a week. And she would be up 3 a.m. working throughout the day.
Does this person's name,
yes.
Is this person's you name a character on the Babysitter's Club?
Yeah. That's a good one. That's right. Yeah.
That should be a trivia question. Speaking of trivia, so we have our trivia question from last week. We can do the answer for
it. I think it's one of my favorite segments of all time.
Okay, cool. Do you want to give the answers and I'll give the question?
Sure. Okay. You got that bad. I love this. This division of labor for the day is just fine with me. I appreciate all you. Thank you.
I didn't sacrifice anything. I appreciate you and your fortitude and being here. I love you.
You're nice. Thank you. I'm in love with you.
Okay. Melissa Etheridge came out as a lesbian at an inauguration ball for which U.S. president? What's the answer?
Before I say the answer, I'll just say that I was editing this yesterday and from last week, and I said the year. I mouthed the year. So if you watch the YouTube version of this show, I gave you a pretty big clue for getting that presidents and years go together. Okay.
That's cute.
The answer to the trivia question is Bill Clinton.
Yep.
That guy.
Please welcome Melissa Etheridge.
And I would like to say right here, I'm very proud to have been a lesbian all my life.
Now, the bonus question was, who was hyping her up when she came out?
You know that shit was Katie Lang.
My sister Katie Lang has been such an inspiration and such the greatest thing I've ever seen this year.
Because, bruh, it was just an important queer lesbian 90s
moment. It was,
moment. Man.
They were really
Those were two pillars of this community.
Oh my God.
Those two.
I think they are currently.
Yo,
they
I remember on the note of Curve Magazine, which we talk about 100% of the time these days, because we're in deep les community. Finally, can we celebrate?
Praise
him. How?
Thank you. Yes, I'm grateful.
It's so it turns out that in a sea of like all kinds of queers, but like sparsely populated mm-hmm. in North Carolina, I will find the deepest Les mm-hmm. and I will take her with me across the country. Mm-hmm. And then when I get to the Bay Area, where there's just like probably a few more, like a more of a concentrated experience, I'll find a couple more because that's really who I like to hang out with.
Yes.
You know?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway. Yeah. And they're, anyway, no. Deep Les. What a culture.
No, I appreciate being around like, queers, just right. straight up fucking queers.
Oh my god, it's so funny. I pull my leg up where I have the Righteous Babe records under the key. It's like I'm flagging.
The topic of Deep Les. Jesus Christ. It's so fucking gay over there. Jeez, it's like, you're, it is. This is just like deep.
Yo, I don't want to. This is like me in middle school, except it was all rainbows. Rainbow keychain, rainbow shirt, rainbow. I painted a rainbow on my pants.
You had Sharpie. To. Oh my god! I saw somebody. I was behind somebody with an HRC sticker on their car, and I was like, "That was my biggest flag." Like back in the day, yeah. I had. Oh my god! HRC sticker on fucking everything.
Oh, cute.
And my yeah.
I have a friend who got an HRC sticker tattoo.
I believe that. I believe that. How does that friend feel about that?
I think they may have changed it into something. Yeah. Luckily, it's so simple. Like what a design
flag. Okay. Favorite things this week?
Oh my god, for sure there's this TikTok that I've I thought I lost it, y'all. You know how you'd be losing TikToks because you go, oh you thought god. You saved it, you didn't save it, you're like, fuck, I don't even know the person's name. I don't even know how I would yo, I cannot find shut up. I can't find
no,
it.
You can't I've find looked it. And it's looked
because you what are you gonna search shut up? That's like the That's main exactly thing right. they said in the anyway.
I appreciate that it's like sand art in that way.
Oh yeah.
It's totally Femoral. Like sand art just let it go.
Can be. Yeah. So, but I found this one because some multiple people reblogged it. That's how you know. Or reposted it. That's how you
Shut
know.
Shut up. This one that you're talking about now.
This new one. Yeah. Too bad. If you ever see or have seen a TikTok with like a blonde, thin, androgynous person who's like talking about real thin, but talking about like, oh, this is great for this episode. Mm-hmm. please find this for us, y'all, with us. With us. I'll keep searching. I search probably every other day. Anyway, the point is, that person goes, is holding a sandwich and is like, which I never really put together how funny that is, but they're holding uh-huh. a sandwich and they're like, if you say you're not fat phobic, but you just like don't prefer to fuck or date fat people, shut up. And they flip the sandwich. They say shut up like 8 times. Oh man, it's still one of my favorite things. If you know or have heard from this person, Dear Jasmine podcast would like to get in touch.
You're such a cute little femme. I see you like holding
you know, I've started doing that lately, so actually. Mm-hmm. I noticed it. I was at my lover's house and I was sitting on the toilet and they were at the sink nearby and looked over at me. And I just did like one of these. And I like, because I was on the toilet, whatever. So I like, I've learned though how that person noted how cute it was. And I was like, I kind of do cute stuff like that sometimes. I just don't think of myself that way. And so I don't notice or something. Anyway, thanks for noticing. But the point of the TikTok is that this happened. There's two news like anchors, maybe, anyway, and their partners, and they have a baby. And so they start the TikTok with whatever. I don't know. You know what the news people say? Like, we're coming live from whatever the baby's crib. I will never do it. I want to play it.
Good evening. It's 6:52 and it's dinner time in the Burton household. The fifth dinner for Bella. Robert, we know she has a sophisticated palate with a preference for the top rated and only restaurant in town with food right from the source.
All right. Let's get a quick check of the traffic report brought to you by Bedside Baby Lotion for all your ashy needs. Looking at the
road. Okay. My favorite things this week are, the new Dear Jessamine set is one of my favorite things. And these new mic stands, our new equipment, I'm really here for. I am also really here for the classes that I've been taking at Voxbody. That has been one of my most favorite things that has happened recently, is going to this rope studio in Oakland that is, it's like a yoga studio, but for rope play. And every class that I go to there is amazing. I love the space. Last night I went to a drills for rope skills class and we just drilled different rope things, which I've been doing at home and we'll do like while I'm sitting on the couch or like after yoga sometimes. And it was really cool to be doing it in space with other people and to learn some drills. And it's just really fun. And I really appreciate that space. It has been a really great place for me to find community. Since moving here. So fun. Okay, cool. Do you want to answer the dear query?
Sure. Yeah.
So,
shall I read it?
Yeah, please.
Okay.
I did want to reiterate that you can send us questions at dearjessamine.query. That's not it. dearjessamine.com/query.
You ready?
Mm-hmm.
Hey, y'all. Thanks for the rad content and sharing so honestly and vulnerably about your relationship. We love it. I'm reaching out because I am a newly fat person and I'm learning and struggling to love my body. Some context. For most of my adult life, I was average sized, whatever that means. After a 2-year period of intense trauma and health issues, I gained over 70 pounds. This may have been due to the medication I was taking. Either way, I'm not sure if I'll ever be able to lose the weight. I've been working out like crazy for the past few months, and I haven't lost any weight. I don't want to diet, as I have a history of eating disorders, and I'm a staunch advocate of intuitive eating habits. I also try to be as fat positive as possible in my life, but fat phobia is real, both internalized and in the world, and it's hard to embrace my beloved body. I'm trying just to move from a place of health and self-love, but it's hard to accept that my body just may be permanently fat. I'm reaching out because y'all are two gorgeous, badass, fat queers who seem to love yourselves and your bodies. When I look at y'all and other fat folk who I love or am in community with, all I see is beauty. I don't judge other big-bodied babes for being big, so why am I judging myself? I can't seem to accept my body for how it is. I have found that I'm avoiding pictures, hangouts, or seeing old friends for fear that they'll judge me / not want to hang out with me. I'm scared to be in a relationship because of my new body. What do y'all think would be helpful / healing for a newly fat person learning to love her body? Her new body, sorry. Thanks and sending love and blessings. Signed, Thick and Juicy.
Thank you so much, Thick and Juicy, for writing in, because this is like a very common experience and I really appreciate it.
And I'll say it's one that, like, interestingly, has to me at least felt really taboo in fat community.
Oh my God. Absolutely.
Like, you could be like, I was going to say something like some old saying that's really violent. You could be dragged. I mean, that's like in the sense.
Dragged, absolutely.
Or just like seen as like not down or
yeah,
like
you're not
getting
down
it wrong.
With the politics.
And I will say this, that since moving to the Bay Area, this is no shade. Everybody knows this. Mm-hmm. There's like so many politics here that are like so rooted in a lot of thought and theory. I say that as like, it feels like a contrast to like back home. There's like, if you were like, wow, I could get a PhD in this kinds of like mm-hmm. rhetoric and like literally. Discourse, but there's a lot more, maybe. I don't know about more. I haven't been out here that long, but there seems to be a real sense of, you can find integrity in people in a way that feels a little bit different, like truth and like saying
where
it
do
plain.
You find integrity?
In interactions at home.
Yeah, no, that I was yeah. I was just making sure that I was clear.
Yeah, like yes, authentic absolutely. Multiracial relationships.
Nah, here people are afraid of getting canceled. They're yeah. afraid of people judging them. But, and so they just like find the party line and tow it. And they don't give a fuck about anything actually. And so
it's a good segue into this.
This. So there's a lot of, I feel, and this is again no shade, but there's some like performative politics, I think, happening in the way that you're approaching your fat body. And it's no, I don't mean that to be critical or mean, but
something
like,
to watch for sure.
Yeah, I think it's really probably inhibiting your acceptance of your body. This idea that, like, yeah, I love fat bodies, like, I love this shit. No, you don't. You hate your body. Like, own that, stand in that. Because until you do that, nothing's going to change.
It's definitely like a first step in the 12 steps,
hell
first
yeah.
commitment of conscious absolutely. Leadership. It's all very much like, look, you don't try to love yeah. your body. You got to just mm-hmm. touch your body.
Yeah, just get in there and like.
Just touch her all over, especially the parts you don't like. Get in the shower, get in your butthole.
That's fucking right.
Touch every part of you.
Yes.
Close your eyes. Do a physical body scan if you can. If your arms work that way. If not, lick everywhere
literally.
You can. Whatever you're doing. I don't know what you're going to do, but like, be a baby.
Yeah.
You have a new body. Mm-hmm. So just like a baby, explore the world in this new body.
Literally.
Like you have never not had access to every part you have access to. Like you've never been denied your own beauty mm-hmm. and light.
That's
like
it.
Nobody's ever said anything like that to you. Like a baby, you talk
be
about
a white
this
man
in,
about it.
In yoke. Do not be a white man about anything. If you can help it, white men, look, you're listening to the show, so you thank you.
Yeah.
I my mean, Lord.
This is my thing about it. And you started doing this recently, and yeah. I'm wondering your thoughts about on what I'm about
that.
To say.
Mm-hmm.
One thing that I would recommend is taking pictures of yourself.
Yes.
And something that you said here that fucking resonated for me was like that you caught yourself like trying not to be in pictures, because that's something that I remember. Like when I look back at my childhood, there are whole years where like I have very few photos of myself because I was trying not to be in photos or in the picture. I'm like hiding my body or like doing something. You can see like the clothes that you're wearing change because, and like just even like bearing witness to that, to see like, wow, how am I hiding myself? Like why, how am I apologizing for myself visually? Having that evidence is really helpful. But then also to take pictures of yourself, not trying to take them even from like specific angles, just like set the camera up and stand in front of it and like look at yourself.
Let me just say, okay, two things. Mm-hmm. Number one, doing this is not a practice that is easy. This is a very, very hard practice in the beginning.
Yeah.
And a precursor to this actually can be and was for me looking at images of naked fat people.
Totally.
I always tell the story about I was babysitting one night and I was just, I don't even know what I looked up, frankly. Mm-hmm. But I found,
I love this so much,
Substantia Jones.
Adipositivity.
Substantia. This photographer who photographs naked fat people. And like, it's just hundreds of photos that were on this carousel I could just click through. And I just, for hours, I was just like, click.
This is
click,
literally why click, she did that too.
Click, click. And it changed my life.
Yes.
In the span of the hour or something that I, you were on there for sure.
I love Substantia Jones. The Added Positivity Project. You can look it up right now. And I think it is a great resource.
We'll put it on 100%. The website too.
Yeah.
But it was definitely my entree into the concept that fat could be beautiful, even sexy. And I found myself in the beginning being like, I mean, grossed out. Legitimately grossed. I was like, bruh, don't nobody want to see. But who said that? I in fact did want to see, and I continued to look. And people love to look at fat bodies, and that's the thing. I want to like change this mythology. There is this terror that has been placed in us, and I'm follow the money, the healthcare industry, who makes money off of us being terrified of being fat. I'm not saying that blah, 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 right? There are things and we need to be mindful of them. I'm trying to say that
Diabetes is real. Heart disease is real. Like
for all people.
Yeah. For all, literally.
And if it runs in your family, just like cancer, just like anything.
The hoes have diabetes, type 1 especially, and it does not have anything to do with your body size. And it will fucking kill you. And heart disease is not specific to your body size. Like so fat like, people are just bastardized for that.
Science. First.
Yeah.
But that's not actually what upholds those myths. What upholds those myths is the shame. And this is what we talk about at We Go High all the time. We talk about why these ideas are upheld that people should go to jail for weed. And it's literally stigma. They have trained everybody for the last 100 years in this country to believe that people who smoke weed are bad people all these reasons.
Oh yeah.
Similarly, they've been training us because it is way more profitable for them than to make actual fucking sense. And this isn't just true about fat people. There's all kinds of things that people make no fucking sense about, medically, scientifically, whatever. Who trains doctors? Do you know? Who writes textbooks? Do you know? Who gives money for those things? I'm just saying, it is not, I'm not trying to be like, don't go to the doctor. I'm trying to say like, there are so many places to get information about health, and Western medicine is hardest on us. That's all. And if you want a second opinion, there's just like a lot of different ways to go about getting it. Finding fat-friendly doctors is like one of them, but fat-friendly community of people who have found fat-friendly doctors is sometimes faster. Do you know what I'm trying to say? Mm-hmm. Like fat people were like, I've been hiking with, like, this is a thing people in California do when they date, evidently. I'm learning about it. I've been hiking and I find myself getting up hills and like doing all kinds of like really interesting athletic things with thin friends who are just like winded and like struggling at the top, you know? And I'm like, it's just a tiny moment for me of being like, of disproving bullshit, of being like, I'm twice this girl's size.
That is a great activity too. That's a great thing to do. You're asking for tips for new fats or whatever, is to like find some physical activity that you really enjoy and don't be exercising to lose weight. Like they talked about how they've been exercising
working
to
out
lose
like crazy.
Weight, working out like crazy. And I'm like, losing weight is just like, just assume that you're going to be the size forever. Like, and just get into it. And then find some exercise that you really love that just makes you happy. And then fucking kill it at it so that you know that you're a bad bitch.
Everybody could be doing with their time for so many reasons that aren't about size. And so I think that the double start of like looking at fat people who are hot, Because it's really, okay, hotness, that's the other thing I wanted to say, is so subjective, is that like you can train yourself into it. You've been trained out of believing fat people are hot by not seeing them anywhere that hot people are supposed to be, like magazine covers and TV in bikinis shows, and
they're never the star of movies. Melissa McCarthy is out here making shit happen. I just want to shout her out, but like she is doing, and Queen Latifah has been out here, but like there are very few just like fat people being shown as like hot people, like starring role number one, you know,
smart people,
yeah,
thoughtful people. Literally. Like we're the punchline about the joke. That is always starting to shift, though.
It is starting to shift.
It's really starting to shift because we're just like, yeah, we're not gonna do that. which is low key what I believe in as like the most revolutionary act is just being like, I'm not doing bullshit. If I don't like that script, I'm not gonna read it.
We talk about this a lot in our relationships, like not reading the script of the person that the other person is trying to cast you as. Like, I'm like, I got my lines here. This, I see my sides and I'm not going to be reading that today. Don't do that. No, I'm not doing that.
And so that can apply here. Man, I had this really interesting conversation that kind of disappointed is the wrong word, but there were feelings there. But it was just that I was said something about getting new health insurance and finding a doctor or whatever. Going to the doctor, I think I had a doctor's appointment. Oh, yeah, I had that doctor's appointment. Somebody said to me something like, you know, good luck at the doctor. Like, I know it can be hard out there. I have never in my life, as far as I know, experienced that kind of like fat phobia at the doctor. And like, I know that's an exceptionally privileged thing to say, but I also think that I just metabolize it differently.
Oh,
and
you do.
This that's happened real. To me as a kid. My sister would get picked on for things that Southern people say to girls when they're growing up. And I must've also, why would I not have? I just didn't receive it the way she did.
I missed it.
Yeah, that's me to my grandmother. You know what I mean? But yeah, in this case, I feel like when doctors say dumb things, which happen, I know that's happened. I just offer back what I know to be true and I keep it pushing. I really don't find myself remembering that it has happened, which maybe some people resonate with that. Maybe some people are like, you're just like repressing your feelings or what. Could be likely. It's likely. But I don't think it's the only option. And I don't think it's all on like woke doctors or something. I feel like there's a way that we can go in knowing about ourselves and being like, I've just literally never been told to lose weight. That would be, I also don't go to the doctor for, I'm overly, what's the word? Confident in my ability to handle my things myself. / have never been insured until now. Go on. I just mean like the script, it's the script thing. The script of the victim, I think, can be flipped to of like, you know, doc, I actually didn't come here to talk about my weight. I came here to talk about my foot or whatever the fuck. Yeah. And I know you want to say
that is really helpful
that the knee bone is connected to the ankle bone and all that. But like, I got you. I am alive in the world. Yes, I've been told to lose weight.
My thing what is do you have like, foot? If you're saying that like weight loss is the only option, it just feels like a really uncreative response. I'm like, okay, I hear you, but I don't know. I have been fat shamed at the doctor and it sucks. Yeah. And it makes me not want to go to the doctor. Like that's, I think they think they're doing the opposite. This is what always happens with fat shaming. Like you're like, no, I'm trying to help. You just made me not want to be around you and or like in this case, like maybe not want to go to the doctor. So I feel like it's really reasonable to feel that way. But I also feel like what you're describing is it's like ownership of your autonomy, like being like, you know what, this is my body and I hear your feedback. And what I would like for you to know is that I need to still have some ways to move forward from here, not just like your shame.
Yeah. I mean, I want to say too that I'm white and I'm mask presenting, which I think offers people a whole different like access to bullshit meter. You know what I mean? Yeah. So just owning that, I just don't have that experience.
There's so much shit that happens from being femme and like wanting to like fit into the parameters of femininity and like this docility, this like demure. Looking demure. Yeah. Like,
debased.
Like, yeah. It's so much shit and it's really hard. But I feel like, not lying to yourself about how you really feel about your body and how you feel about other people's bodies is helpful.
Yeah. The other thing, it seems like you're isolating a little bit just from some of the things you said of like not wanting to go out, not wanting to be in pictures and stuff. And I just wonder if you might explore that there might be other things, because like I'm doing a little bit of isolating in ways that I wouldn't normally. And part of what that looks like even, and you might be like, are you? Like dating new people instead of keeping up with my friends mm-hmm. and family, because mm-hmm. there's a different level of accountability and being seen in that, which can be some space I'm taking to mm-hmm. like grow and evolve, certainly. But there also can be a like, you're talking about, which I'm recognizing in me, that like there are these changes that we all go through because everything's changing all the time. God has changed, et cetera. That we want to sort of hide out from the people who hold us accountable. And sometimes that can be like not being held back from this change and this evolution. But sometimes it can be about this shame. And I think it can be both at the same time. I think it can be so many other things at the same time too. But like wondering if there are like other pieces of your life that you're feeling like are changing or are like not, that you don't want to show. Like, oh, I think about sometimes the metaphor of you not letting people see your hair on wash day when you were younger. Mm-hmm. Just like, yeah, this like hiding away from the world because you've decided it's like not good enough or like not a good thing, or it doesn't, it's unbecoming of you, or that it doesn't represent you well. And yeah, I mean, I just think that like the acceptance and the surrender, like I talk about it that way, can be, can just make the space where the resistance is where you're using your energy. You know what I mean? Relaxing that can just make an energetic space for anything to come. What I find in that gentleness is that really sweet things often come. And if one sweet thing on your list of desires could be something like fat community, like people who you called us badass fat queers who love their body or something, you got those near you too. And if you don't, I know there's some on the internet, et cetera.
Yeah. I mean, it's like fully curate your experience, curate your life.
Immerse yourself in like beautiful fat culture. Because we out here. I mean, that's the other thing is that I like when people question me about being proud of being a white Southerner. And I'm like, bruh, have you heard about our resistance struggles? Like, white people be out here like doing things that I'm proud of. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. In the South. And so that's actually what I'm proud of being, is like a white Southern race trader. But I think we can do this with our bodies too. Just like immerse mm-hmm. yourself, like any other cultural identity. And that's the identity thing that's like so real. I didn't know that. I grew up with fat family, right? Mm-hmm. So sometimes if a new fat may not have fat family, they might, oh, no, but that's they might exactly not. Right.
They also might have like deeply fat phobic family.
Whether they're fat like people or not. Parents especially. Right. Yeah. But I grew up with like, I don't know if your experience is like this. Like you had a lot of fat women in your life, in your mm-hmm. family and life growing up. I certainly did. And there was a positive, like an in-group thing. And so I had a good head start on that, I'd say. When I got adopted, it was definitely a like thinner is better model, you know, but just implicit. It wasn't like anybody was specifically doing something special that I didn't understand culturally. But there's so much entrenchment, so much training, and so much constancy around fat phobia constantly. And it's like, lean in, mm-hmm. lean into the just soft, gushy. I mean, okay. I can remember a moment when I realized how valuable my fat body is. Mm-hmm. I mean, many moments, but I remember the first one that I was like, wow, that's a really great reason to be fat. Mm-hmm. If I tell my story, do you think you might have one too?
A moment when I thought it was really good to be fat?
Yeah.
I mean, I have moments, but I don't know about like a specific moment when I was a child. But yeah.
Okay. When I was like 18 or 19, go ahead.
Definitely did not think that when I was a child.
I definitely didn't either. Although there was this one picture I took of myself. This was like before selfies. I had like a mm-hmm. little film camera or whatever. Mm-hmm. And I took a picture sort of like low in my mirror. Mm-hmm. I was wearing like a white tank top and I don't know, boxers or something. And I was just like, the curve of my body was just like, hey, girl. And I hated my body. I thought my body was fat and ugly. Mm. But I remember getting those photos developed way later and being like, that looks like something I would look for to find attractive. You know what I mean? I wasn't having so many sexual fantasies back then in the same way that I might now. But that happened. One time I took a picture of my tits when I was 18. And I was just like, my tits look so good. And they did, yo. They looked, ooh. Ooh, they look so good. They still look good, but they look real different now. Mm-hmm. And I'm so glad I took those pictures. Mm-hmm. To your point, mm-hmm. I'm like slowly catching up to the fact that you said that. But Yeah, those are very memorable moments. But the moment that I remember my fat body was really, really valuable was I was doing a lot of childcare in my early 20s, and I could get any baby to sleep. And I knew it was because I was squishy. Mm. But one time I was lying down and had a baby on top of me. And I just started to sort of rock. Mm-hmm. And they were like right in between my tits, their little torso and their little body was down my belly. And they just moved so gracefully, this little baby, and just fell asleep being rocked by what my body was obviously made to do on some level, or some people's bodies that are shaped like this do a lot of really good getting babies to sleep. I think it's a valuable thing.
Yeah.
And I don't think that everybody's body does that.
It's true.
And I celebrate it every chance I get.
I'm present to it. I don't know about celebrating. I'm present to it. I appreciate my body.
You celebrate.
I do. I mean, I love being luscious and thick and juicy and curvy and like just full of all the different things. And I feel really grateful that we have always been celebrated throughout time. Like there is endless art made about fat bodies specifically, and always has been.
Yeah.
From Rubens to Mesopotamia. And I just feel like really grateful to be a part of that legacy and lineage.
That's right.
I also feel a great responsibility to my body to take care of it. And that it feels really different to me than like trying to change it. And like, it's really something that has come through the acceptance of it. It's like, okay, so I only have so many years here in general. Best case scenario, I only have so many years and I'm going to have this body the whole time. So how can I take care of it? And
wow,
there is this part about like going to the doctor that is still hard for me, that I'm still like figuring through, and dealing with the everything that you're talking about like, okay, cool. So thanks for that feedback about losing weight. But I would also like to talk to you about my overall experience of health beyond my body size. Thank you very much. But that feels like it's coming. And I mean, but if we're talking about how it looks, I don't think there's a question. Like, I'm fucking sexy. I'm not concerned about that. But that has also come through time and only through photographing, and more specifically, I think taking video of my body and like watching it move and watching it be strong and like take me through so much. And watching it change too, because like through quarantine, through the pandemic, I gained a lot of weight through that period. And that, I feel like on the topic of like new fat or like seeing a shift in your body, like looking at how I've been looking at my body for the last few years has been really interesting too. So, and I think I'm still in that. But yeah, I mean, I do think that it's glorious. Curvy.
I find your body quite glorious.
I find your body quite glorious. And I'm glad that, yeah, baby. And I'm glad that you're really starting to understand that too.
Some days.
I see you doing, you're working the practices. Like,
yo, I'm remembering my bike fitness journey. Oh, yeah. I miss my bike. Yeah. But my stationary bike practice where I would do a time lapse of me practicing a 30, 45 minute practice, whatever. Oh, man. And I remember the beginning of that practice, my belly was all white and hung out and my boxers, I would do it in boxers and underwear just because that's what I work out in. And I felt like it would be a real lie. Sometimes I had like more clothes. The first couple, I think I had more clothes on actually, if I remember correctly. I had like shorts and maybe like a tank top or something. That's just not what I work out in. I do my best working out nude for sure. So I can just be with my body.
Sure.
And clothes like hold you in a funny way. Sometimes I like it. Like a bra with biking is great. Obviously shorts with biking is great
too. Shorts with biking, I don't mind. But no shirt with biking.
Yeah, definitely no shirt. If I want to really get, because I feel like I hold myself back, I get too overheated, whatever.
Yeah.
But well, actually not whatever. This is actually the whole thing. When I'm ashamed of my body and so I need to cover it all up, it actually inhibits my workout for me, for instance. Totally. So if I'm at home, I'm going to be as nude as I can. And if I want to photo or
naked
video my, that's right.
Yeah.
If I want to photograph or video my process, I'm going to have to do that in a bra and underwear.
Oh, so annoying.
Yeah. But you know what that, because I've been going to this queer yoga situation here in the Bay once a month. And I just strip on down because, and it's outdoors and there's a whole bunch of homos. But like and I don't know any of them. I think I would be more like modest or like nervous or something if I had a, like if I used to date one of their exes or something, you know what I mean? But I probably did, but actually I just don't know who they are.
Literally.
Wow. Okay. That's so deep actually. Anyway, But it really did get me ready. The other thing, ready for, because I don't want to practice yoga in a whole bunch of clothes. Mm-hmm. Like I would just not. I would just go home and do it, you know? Mm-hmm. So the fact that I feel a freedom to like get down to my underwear and bra in the park with people feels like all that work is paying off. It's a better mm-hmm. thing. It's a better practice. I have more access. I have more resources mm-hmm. with less clothes on mm-hmm. in the park.
Yes.
So to be able to reach for that feels fantastic. Mm-hmm.
I feel like there has to be a practice of getting naked at home, though, in order to even be comfortable.
It's been years.
Getting more naked in public. And
I'm just noticing the mountains I've climbed there.
Oh, my God. Literally. Yeah. I identify with what you're saying. And I want to offer that as a resource. And I'm like, I feel like hearing it. Sometimes I hear the shit that I say and the shit that we say. And I'm like, damn, it sounds like we're being like so a little bit easy. Critical. Yeah. And it's like so easy to just do it. And it's totally not like to be able to be scantily clad in front of a bunch of people is a major practice that you have to put in place at home. And like, it's because like you, if you can't be naked by yourself, you can't be naked around other people. Mm. But I've been going to this class, twice a month at Vox that is, like a clothing optional yoga class. And it is so freeing. I'm always the like only, to my, I don't know how people identify, but I'm the only visibly fat person that I see there. Mm. And I'm usually like mostly naked. It seems like pro tip for that is to wear underwear, but like have it be where you can like, I got to be able to like pull my belly out and shit and like really get in there. So not like constricting underwear. Anyway.
It's so wild bra. That feels revolutionary to touch your body. God,
that's
I just want to put, I just want to highlight that for 1 second. It feels so crazy that Jessamyn Stanley on the Underbelly app will just yank her belly right on out of her leggings. And people, I feel like this goes back to people love looking at fat bodies. Number one.
Interesting. Yeah.
I think, I do want to speak two things, the identity piece and this thing that fucking happens for me when thin people are being evil and fat phobic out loud. Mm-hmm. Yo, so much compassion to how restrictive their lives must be if they have this kind of venom. For me, eating a fucking hoagie. Yeah. I don't fucking care if you like bread. I didn't do this to you. Yeah. But I feel like the shade comes from the actual deep pain and self-loathing that a lot of thins have, especially about like what feels, I think probably is perceived as like a freedom in a lot of ways that fat people who aren't, you know, so outwardly ashamed of themselves.
Yeah. They're like, how dare you not be ashamed of yourself? And like, how dare you eat this food that I want to eat? You think I can't eat that food?
I can't.
Nobody tells you not to eat that food. Like, what the fuck?
Oh, man. And if I could I could figure out a way probably work Samantha Irby into every podcast episode. But for today, I feel like the read literature by fat people, like
Very
listening
important.
To Samantha Irby talk about different ways people have been fat phobic in partnerships and different ways that she sort of found some liberation in her own body and just like, and the constant struggle that remains, you know what I mean? Like,
No, I used to listen to this podcast and I always mention it as like being extremely influential in how I feel about my body. Mm-hmm. It was this podcast that Leslie Kinzel and Marianne Kirby did. This was like circa 2011, 2010. It was called Two Whole Cakes. And if you can find it somewhere, it is amazing. Mm-hmm. It's literally just two fat bitches talking for an hour or whatever, and they're just talking specifically though about fat shit. And I don't remember what they were even talking about, but just hearing them talk about like, oh yeah, I wear this size, and like I specifically remember at least one of them talking about being a size 22 and like the clothing that she would wear. And I was just like, that was revolutionary, you know, hearing somebody own their body like that and inundating yourself with fat voices, I think it's just really...
Because it might just help you change. Because you're talking about like accepting, or maybe we're talking about accepting, you're talking about how it's a struggle to accept. But I feel like just give yourself every opportunity to love on yourself.
Oh, yeah.
Notice when you're saying negative shit about yourself. And I don't mean negative like, you're a fat, ugly bitch. Although I say that shit to myself for
you
sure.
You do, man. You be mean.
Who are you talking... Who?
Yeah, but I don't call myself a fat, ugly bitch. Who's I call myself... stupid
and lazy,
stupid head,
stupid lazy, head.
Lazy
bum.
Bitch.
Oh my God, that hurt fucking me.
Bitch. Yeah, totally.
Okay, I'm gonna bleep some of this. This feels spicy and slicey. Ay.
God. Anyway,
we're talking about the softness of fat.
You calling yourself a fat?
I tea. So we just notice when we say those things, not because we're stupid for doing them, but because like we have been trained by somebody to come up with these vile things to say about this beautiful, magnificent, excellent, absolutely phenomenal. Think about the systems. Mm-hmm. Think about the systems in this hoe. Mm-hmm. This is like art. This cellularly, holy shit. Do you know we don't even know what's going on inside the brain, which is probably not even the information center?
That's my favorite part of psychology. It's like, man, y'all don't even know what's going up there. There's a bunch of fucking
Gemini psychologists who think that they know things want to map shit out. Mm-hmm. Aries, lover, passionate, like feeling, probably water signs, I would say, probably have way more interest in maybe some earth signs. Patterning. So I like to notice behavior patterns in humans. That's why I like psychology. I don't need to know anything. I just like to notice it unfold and then say, I just noticed this unfolded.
Okay. We have 9 minutes left in our recording time. So
I'm just enjoying it. This is like the only part of my last 4 days I've actually had a nice time. So
that's nice. I'll read the trivia question. This week's trivia question is, name 2 cinematic high schools that Gabrielle Union attended in the 90s and early 2000s. Two of them.
At least two. Give them to us.
And we have 2 that we'll say, even though there could have been more, because I feel like Gabrielle Union was in high school all through the 90s, even though she must have been in her 30s.
Do you know that Stacey Dash, who played Dion in Clueless, was 35 when she played the role of that 17.
That is like very basic Clueless trivia. Oh my. So just FYI. And now we can't put it on the show because you're just
eat my shorts. We're going to do a Stacey Dash trivia question. I think the trivia might be like, how did Stacey Dash get such bad politics? More at 11. Go ahead.
You know, I really feel like this is something that white people shouldn't talk about. So anyway, Kanye West, we're talking about that.
Created a new policy about that.
That you don't talk to white people about Kanye West.
There's just no reason to.
You can't. So do you want to read the review? Thank y'all so much for leaving us reviews.
That's the best.
It's really nice of you.
I think I've loved the bad reviews. So leave a bad review. If you hate this show, but for some reason you're listening to this, please. I want to
leave
about
a
that.
Bad review. Love yeah, it. Totally.
Bring it on.
Yeah, for sure. But here's a good review that someone left us recently.
They're all good and they're all bad.
You can leave them on Apple Podcasts and you can send us emails and
bad
stuff.
To the bone.
Also Instagram at Dear Jessamine.
I love that both of these correspondences start with the word y'all. I just want to say I've been missing home lately. Okay.
Me too.
Dear Jessamine and Ash. Y'all were right on in predicting that your dear from episode 319 wasn't alone, because I too have been struggling with being in a straight-facing relationship as a queer woman. Moreover, my queer awakening was steeped in a lot of shame, so I'm not fully out with my bisexual identity, and I hesitate to do so being married to a very straight man. My husband knows I'm bisexual, as do some friends. I felt so connected to what the dearie was saying. I also deeply felt Ash's sentiment that queerness does not need to be connected to a relationship. The episode inspired my own queerissance, better portmanteau, and I'm reflecting on how that will look and feel. This episode also pointed out how language can be freeing and limiting. The identity of bisexual is so significant because it provides context for me to say and feel, yes, I am that. However, sometimes terminology has implicit or explicit rules around it, and one term can have as many meanings as there are people on this planet. I say that about genders, too. I, too, rely on this podcast for a touchstone to queerdom. As a Gemini sun, Virgo moon, Leo rising, I love the energy of the pod, and in my loneliest moments when I couldn't connect with my besties for a chief and chat, as we like to call them, your pod provided a sense of community and reflection that I needed. I live in Oakland, and I'm so glad y'all are enjoying the Bay. Thank you for all you do.
Aww.
That was really very good. Thanks for that. Yeah, thanks for that review. It's really good to know what it feels like to listen to our show, because there are days I don't want to do it. Less and less.
Oh my God, less and less. The more systems that we put in place. The more we're not like in less a different place every
decapitated chicken, I feel.
Do you remember that time that we were like, in a, that we were having to like pack up the trailer and take it down every day and do the podcast on those days.
Yeah.
We were actually literally high. Okay, cool. Have a good
See you.
Dear Jessamine is produced by Tenderfire Media. For more on our show, follow us on Spotify and Instagram at Dear Jessamine, or head over to our website, dearjessamine.com. If you're an Apple Podcast person, you can subscribe to our show. And while you're there, write us a review. They really help us out a lot, and they give you a place to let folks know how you feel about our show. Here's our team. Kylie C. Roberts is our editor/producer. Angel Foster and Naya Williams do our social media. Janie Leppard draws our art, and Fruit Snack plays our theme song. Montez Mickles is our director of production. Anna Rooney is my chief of staff. Amber Richardson is Ash's chief of staff. Ash Danger Phoenix is my co-host and co-producer. And I am Jessamine Stanley. And we believe that no one should be in jail for weed.
Tenderfire.
For a living? Somebody said that to me lately. We'll be right back.
I'm so sorry. You do talk for a living.
We'll be right back after this break.
Drop page.
Is it /? Or forward /?
There's a /. Involved. It's the one that you would typically use.
The one /. In the URL. It's like the one.
Yeah, I guess it's technically, it's a /. You know, when you type in a website, but like, don't get creative.
Okay. You can also navigate there from the homepage, so don't worry about that either.